The Gospel according to Luke, please. Luke's Gospel and chapter number 15. The Gospel according to Luke and chapter 15. Very nice to be here in O'Leary this evening to share with my brother David and the Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, please, and we're going to read at verse number 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse number 1. There's an expression that is on my mind tonight. There was a number of passages that came into my mind, but for sake of time and for simplicity, we're just going to read this one verse in Luke chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, notice this expression, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It's just those four words in the middle of verse number 2. This man receiveth sinners. I wonder tonight, even with a gospel that you've heard already, do you have an understanding now that the Lord Jesus loves you? Individually and personally, the person sitting on your seat tonight, he loves you. And this man is a reference, of course, to the person of the Lord Jesus. This man receiveth sinners. Just for the last part of this gospel meeting, what I would like to speak on is this man. This man, Lord Jesus. In fact, this was a very interesting scenario. The Lord Jesus had been speaking about a great supper, a supper of a man who bade many, and some began to make excuses. And they didn't want to go to the supper that was prepared for them. And then the Lord Jesus begins to speak to the multitude further regarding discipleship. And then after that, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. Really, that was the down and out of society. The people that you would think would be least expectedly to find themselves in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And yet, the Lord Jesus had a love for those sinners. The Lord Jesus had a love for those publicans, those tax collectors, those people that were so looked down upon in society that day. In fact, the religious people, with all their pomp and with all their religion, they stood up and with pride, they looked at the Lord Jesus after these individuals were crowding around him and in ridicule and really out of mockery, they spoke these words, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Did you know that those words of ridicule were words of reality? Those words that they tried to speak against the Lord Jesus in a despising way, in a demeaning way, trying to bring him down, literally revealed. Listen, friend, the words that they spoke speaking against Christ revealed the very heart of Christ. This man receiveth sinners. I want you to think about this lovely man, the person of the Lord Jesus. Who is he? Who is this man? You come with me, won't you, to a place called Calvary. And after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, a man who was likely very, very hard, a centurion, a Roman soldier, he's played this scene before. He's seen men crucified. He saw the cursings that came from their lips. He saw the hatred that was in the heart of individuals as they were crucified to a cross. And yet this time it was very different. This time for the centurion, he heard words coming from a man's mouth. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He heard words of forgiveness, words of pardon, words of kindness were expressed by this man on the cross. Who was the man on the cross? It was God's blessed Son. And after the scene of Calvary had ran its course, and after the Lord Jesus bowed his head and dismissed his spirit, this centurion, this Roman soldier, having looked upon the Savior, having seen him crucified on the cross that day, he saw it all. And he said of this man, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Who is he? Who is the man that we are preaching tonight whenever it comes to the gospel. Who is the savior of sinners? Who is this man called Jesus that we've been hearing about who loves us? He is the Son of God. That's who he is. God's Son from heaven. Could I tell you, friend, that he's the maker of the universe? He is the very one who spoke the worlds into existence. He was the one who, in the beginning, formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into man's nostrils a breath of life. Man became a living soul. He is the one who holds everything together. The Word of God tells us that all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. By him, Colossians chapter 1 tells us, by him all things consist. All things are held together by this man. All powerful, the Son of God from heaven. God who looked down into this world, who saw the sin, who saw your sin, all your sin. We've been reminded tonight of a God who is love. And my brother David reminded us that equally so, he is a God of judgment. A God who sees all your sin. A God who knows all about you. Listen, friend. He is the God with whom you have to do. You know what the Bible tells us? That all things are open and naked, literally laid bare, before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That there is nothing. You might be able to hide something from your friends. You might be able to hide something from your mom and your dad. You might be able to hide things from people in society, but you can't hide things from God. God knows all about your sin. God knows all about your past. And God sees it all. And yet, in spite of that, in spite of the fact that God saw all our sin, and in spite of the fact that God saw us as guilty sinners, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who is he? Who is this man, Jesus Christ? He is God's Son from heaven. That's who he is. That's the identification of the person that we preach in the gospel. But how did he live? There's another expression spoken by another man who was at the same scene that centurion was at, Calvary. While he was on the cross, this thief nailed to the cross, nailed beside the Lord Jesus. While he recognized and understood he was there because of crimes that he committed, he was there, rightfully so. He turned to the other thief that was hurling words of accusation and mockery towards the Savior. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And that other man, he said, dost thou not fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, we receive justly. We receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man, a reference to the man in the center cross, a reference to the Lord Jesus, he said, this man hath done nothing amiss. Could I tell you, friend, not just of the identification of this person who being the Son of God, the perfection of his person. This man has done nothing amiss. This man has done not one thing out of place. He is absolutely pure, absolutely perfect. In fact, could I tell you, that's why he can be your Savior tonight. Because as a perfect substitute, he died on Calvary's cross. As a perfect man, God's only Son came down into earth, and his life was marked by absolute perfection, absolute beauty. Never before did the heavens open and speak to a person and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But it happened with Christ. It happened with the Lord Jesus. That moment when the heavens opened and God revealed and God spoke. And God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know what the Bible tells us about the perfection of his character? The Bible says this. He did no sin. Never was there an action that the hands of the Lord Jesus did out of keeping with God, with God's standard. You know what the Bible also says this? He knew no sin. If you would allow me to apply it in this way tonight. There was never a thought that crossed the mind of Christ that was contaminated by sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. John writes about the perfection of the Lord Jesus in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 5. You know what John says? In him is no sin. That's this man. This man who receives sinners, he's the Son of God from heaven. This man who receives sinners, he's the perfect Savior. You know, the Bible also tells us about what this man did. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Oh, friend, we want to tell you tonight, all your sin and all your guilt, lost and perishing before God, heading to a lost eternity, heading to a real place called hell, heading to a real place called the lake of fire, the second death, heading, friend, towards judgment that is real. Could we tell you? There was a brother who stood in the prayer meeting and he quoted these words. He took the guilty sinner's place. He suffered in his stead. For man, oh miracle of grace, for man, the Savior bled. Could I tell you, friend, again about Calvary? Could we tell you again about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? What is the great action? What is the great demonstration? What is the great event that shows to us that he loves us? It was Calvary. It was the cross. You see, he came with a purpose. It was for our sins. Can we come back to that for a moment? What about your sins? What about all those things that you've committed? What about all those thoughts that have gone through your mind? What about the places you've been? The words you've spoken? You see, friend, your sin has really accumulated a mountain of debt before God. And there's nothing you can do about your sin. Nothing. You can't work to save yourself from your sin. You can't join a church to get rid of the mountain of your sin. You can't be baptized to get rid of the mountain of your sin. There is absolutely nothing you can do about your sin. But this man has done something about your sin. That's the marvelous thing about the gospel that we preach. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. There is provision that he has made for your sin. Yes, friend, your sin. There is not one sin for which the Lord Jesus did not die for when he was on the cross. Thus we can say that there is salvation for every single individual, for the whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is salvation found through him, through this man. The purpose for which he came, it was for sin. The price he was willing to pay, death itself, suffering of the cross. He was willing and he was able to deal with our sin. Could I tell you, friend? He became the substitute for sinners. He became the substitute for sinners. You'll likely not remember the story. I told it back in 2018 here in this hall. And so, well, maybe your memory is all right. Maybe you might remember the story. I was driving back from Labrador just earlier in the spring. I was there for some gospel meetings. And one of the things I like to do as I drive in the car is I like to listen to a good audio book. Well, this audio book, I was listening to it. And I read parts of the book before. Miracle on the River Kuwait. The book was called To End All Wars by Ernest Gordon. Ernest Gordon was a Scottish soldier during World War II. And he left Scotland. And while he was moving down near around Singapore, the Japanese were beginning to crowd around and they were beginning to capture. They began to capture some of the troops, the Scottish troops. And so Ernest Gordon was among those that tried to escape by boat. And while Ernest Gordon and his company were on boat, The Japanese captured them, and they ended up being prisoners of war during World War II. They helped build the railway from Burma to Siam. Ernest Gordon, in his book, he called it the Railway of Death. While there, they were prisoners of war. They were beaten. They were starved. They were worked and overworked. And during the scenario, Ernest Gordon actually contracted malaria. And he was, at one point, he was actually lying in a morgue around other dead bodies. They thought he was just no good for nothing. He wasn't going to live. Miraculously, Ernest Gordon did live from that. And during his experience in that POW camp, he actually became a Christian. Well, Ernest Gordon was lying on a bed and recovering from malaria. There was a story that began to move around the camp. There was a day when the party of soldiers were moving back after a day's work on the railway. And the shovels were counted. And there was one shovel missing. The Japanese soldier, he began to move up and down as those men were lined up. The party was lined up. He began to move up and down. And in his broken English, he began to cry out and he began to scream, "One shovel missing. Who took it? One shovel missing. Who took it?" And the anger and the outrage just increased and increased and increased. Finally, at a point of rage, that Japanese soldier, he took his gun. And in desperation, he cocked the gun and he began to point it at different individuals along the line. And what he said was this in his broken English: "One shovel missing. Who took it? Stand forward or all die. Stand forward or all die." And there was a Scottish soldier who was standing in the ranks of those prisoners of war. And that Scottish soldier, he took a step outside the line and he said, "I took it. I took the shovel." And that Japanese soldier, he began to beat into that man. And after beating him so long, that soldier stood up, and in silence, he stood at attention. And finally, with one final blow, that Japanese soldier took the butt of his gun and cracked it down on the top of that Scotsman's head. Just a corpse, a dead corpse, lying in front of those comrades. They gently picked their comrade up, and they walked back. And while they walked back, those shovels were taken, and those shovels were counted. There was not one shovel missing. They were all there and accounted for. You say, what was it that was demonstrated there? He loved them. A man who gave his life for his comrades. Could we tell you tonight about something that is far more superior? Something that is far greater. Sometimes we hear stories of earth, and they literally bring us to tears as we think about acts of devotion, of what individuals were willing to do for others. Listen. Listen, folks, tonight in this gospel meeting. This is not a mere man who is giving his life for a select group of people. No, friend. This is the very Son of God. God who is manifest in flesh. This man, the Lord Jesus himself, dying on a cross for guilty sinners. Sinners who deserve nothing but God's judgment eternally. Listen, friend, tonight, if you die the way you are, what you deserve is hell. We have to be honest with you. If I got what I rightfully deserved, Tim Burton would be in hell forever. That's what I deserve. But there is one who took my place at Calvary. A price was paid. And Christ gave his all. Listen, folks, tonight, the mighty price was paid. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Could I tell you about the pleasing of this work? God raised his Son from the dead and sat him at his own right hand in glory. Yes, my friend, could I tell you, God is satisfied with the work of Christ. Could I tell you? That's why you could leave with salvation tonight. Because God is satisfied. You can't work enough to save your soul from your sin. You can't do enough. But he has done it all. It is finished. Those were his words. It is finished. When he died and gave up his spirit, dismissed his spirit, the work was done in whole, done completely, and done perfectly. And because God is satisfied, salvation is being offered to you tonight. What is found in this man? Paul preached Acts chapter 13 in Antioch of Pisidia. You know what he said? Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Could I ask you tonight, you want your sins forgiven? You want to be saved from your sins? It's found in this man, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. We were singing this morning. Singing those words and appreciating them. We bless our Savior's name. Our sins are all forgiven. He suffered once to earth he came. And now he's crowned in heaven. And there is forgiveness found in this man. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And you're not outside of the scope, friend. You're not outside of the reach of this forgiveness. But if you turn and leave in your sins, you could put yourself out of the reach of the forgiveness of sins. You could be among those who might leave this gospel meeting tonight, of whom these words could be said: Jesus loved him. But to miss God's salvation and to die in your sins and be lost forever. Could I tell you finally about this man? Not just his identification or his perfection or his salvation or his provision, but listen, friend, to his reception. This man receiveth sinners. You say, how can I be saved? How can I know my sins are forgiven? How can I know heaven is my home? How can I be saved from my sin and from coming judgment? This man receiveth sinners. Could we tell you tonight that arms are open wide and arms are welcoming? Heaven's arms are welcoming tonight. This is the divine reception that is offered through the person of the Lord Jesus. This man receiveth sinners. You say, Tim, I don't understand it. How can I get it? How can I grasp it? You know what the Word of God says? As he receives sinners. John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse number 12 says this: as many as received him. You see, he's willing to receive you tonight. The question is this: are you willing to receive him? Will you take him? As many as received him, to them give he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Just this past week, July the 4th, 24 years ago, that I received him. You know what amazes me? It amazes me that he was willing to receive me. Just a guilty sinner. A sinner who deserved to be in hell, lost in my sin. And he received me. And he saved me. He forgave me of all my sins. Could I tell you tonight? That could be yours. You could leave tonight with God's great salvation. Because this man receiveth sinners. You trust him tonight. The Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You could be saved tonight if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do give thanks to thee for the Lord Jesus. We bless thee, Father, for those words that we have been considering, words of truth. Jesus loved him. And we're thankful, Father, even tonight, as we think of the individuals who are here, we're thankful that the love of the Lord Jesus for them is just as true as that man back in that day. We're thankful for the love of the Lord Jesus for us. We're thankful even for what the Word of God tells us. The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We appreciate the cross. We appreciate the Lord Jesus, the shedding of his precious blood and his glorious resurrection. We're thankful for salvation that is found in him. Part us with thy blessing, we would ask of thee, as we commend ourselves into thy care, and those, Father, who have listened to the preaching of the gospel tonight, we'd ask, Lord, that thou would speak to their hearts. Some, Father, that we would have hoped to have been here tonight, they're not here. Preserve them, Lord, we pray, and speak to their hearts where they are. Commend us into thy gracious care as we look to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.